open spot. That's cool. Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. Entertaining show. As well, I got to tell you, politicians have the reputation of not being incredibly entertaining, wonkish. Is that you ever hear that?
You know, the people that have heard me speak over the years, Bruce, know I'm a public servant, not a politician. Such a harsh word.
That's probably, yeah, sorry about that. Didn't mean to offend. I'm joined by David Rice. He's the state representative for the 109th district here in Illinois, and Dale Ryder, the state senator for the 55th district. And fellas, I've voted in every election. Since I was 18, my first election, I voted for Ronald Reagan. I'll freely admit.
Yep.
I had no idea what number legislative district you guys we were in. All I know is I know which way to vote. Wouldn't know what direction, but I don't pay attention to the numbers because they keep changing, it seems like.
Right, they do.
Yes.
How difficult is it to, whenever you get gerrymandered and have to move around? Dale, you got gerrymandered, kind of moved into this district, didn't you?
I did. Now, it's been a great fit, but absolutely. I mean, when the map changes, then you have to go out and meet new people. But, you know, that's not a bad thing. That's
sure.
A good thing for us to go out and learn new things and meet new people and, you know, exchange ideas. So, yeah, when it happens, you look at it and you say, oh, come on. But then, you know, you got to take it on, and it turns out to be a good experience.
And you were in the 108th day for the longest time. And when it changed numbers, it really didn't change too much area, did it?
Not at all. And they just changed the numbers to be ornery sometimes. And, you know, it makes you buy new signs and new letterhead and stuff like that. But, no, my district is solid of the earth district. It was before and it still is. And about 15% of it changed.
Okay. Dave, you've been the representative for Wayne County for how long now?
This is my 11th year.
11th year. And Dale Ryder, you've been senator for representing Wayne County for only now, what, 4 years?
Right.
Tell the folks in Wayne County may not know all that much about Dale Ryder. Give people the quarter tour.
Well, Bruce, I'll do that. I was born and raised in Mattoon. My dad worked in a manufacturing plant all his life. My mom was a stay-at-home mom until, I think, literally the day I graduated from high school. And then she was like, get out. I've got things to do.
Yeah.
And she went out and started her own small business. I'm a graduate of Eastern University and St. Louis University Law School. I don't like to admit everywhere
that
I'm a lawyer, particularly when I'm sitting next to a hog farmer. He likes to make fun of that. I was a felony drug prosecutor for 5 years, serving a multi-county region. And then in 1997, my predecessor in the Illinois House of Representatives resigned his seat midterm. Illinois law dictates a appointment process, and after 5 years in law enforcement, I thought, you know, I would like to try something a little bit different.
Try to help construct the laws, man.
Well, absolutely. Address a broader scope of issues.
Sure.
And so I put my name in the hat and was appointed, and it's just been go, go, go ever since. And I look back, even years later, I look back at that decision and say, you know what? Professionally, that was the best decision I ever made.
Really? If you've been successful at it, of course, have been since you're to this point.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, I guess, and we mentioned it earlier with the redistricting, even, you know, people would look at my district and say, okay, all are parts of 14 counties. It's in east central, southeastern Illinois. What are you going to find there?
Yeah.
And what's amazing is you find new things and new people and amazing things that are going on right here that most people don't know anything about. Every single day, and that's why I love this job.
That's the thing you can talk. That's one thing you can talk about. The people that you deal with on a daily basis when you're in Springfield probably have no idea when you're talking. Hey, look, I've got a section of my district that is heavily into oil. It has a tremendous petroleum, and if. Before you got redistricted, you weren't down here in this area, and that's kind of new to you too, isn't it?
Well, kind of. I mean, there was still
Robinson,
even in my other Senate district.
Yeah.
That's right,
yeah.
But it's even more so now. And you're exactly right. And plus, for me, I mean, just like David, it's the chance to represent your friends and neighbors in Springfield. I'm a conservative. The people I represent generally are conservatives. I align with them on most of views. I mean, the issue is getting it done in Springfield.
That's not the only thing you're still doing, though, right? I mean, you're still side job. You're a citizen. I guess my point is, are you still a citizen first, representative senator second, or senator first?
This job, like David, takes up the overwhelming majority of my time. I do have a law practice on the side in Charleston. It's me and two other lawyers. The other two are constantly looking around, wondering where I'm at and when I'm going to show up at the office.
Yeah.
I'm also an assistant cross-country coach at Mattoon High School.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How's the squad?
What's that?
How's the squad?
Good. We had a good season last year, and it's going to be better this coming year. So, absolutely. We're always optimistic about what the kids are doing. I do. Actually, I do. Now, when I started coaching with them, I was running with our top three or four varsity boys.
Yeah.
Now I'm running a little bit behind them. That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. But there's nothing better than watching kids develop and grow, not just physically, but mentally, and gain confidence that, hey, you know what? I can go out and do this. I can run 3 miles and not stop, or I can go out and be in the top seven. And that's something I can never imagine giving up.
You know, we talked to Dale about the different things that he does. Dave, you've been a farmer, and you've been farming the same thing your entire life. How far back does your family farm that land you're on?
Our original family farm just turned 150 years old last year.
Is that right?
So I'm fifth generation farmer in St. Marie area, and my kids and my nephews would be sixth generation, and you know, it's changed a lot. I mean,
tell me about it. I mean, if you're a hog farmer mainly, or dairy farmer, or what do you farm?
Mainly hog farm. We rent out our ground because of my occupation.
Yeah.
You're in spring every session every spring, and got an election every other fall. So, but I still get on the tractors, and we still farm, but mainly the hogs. Finish out about 10,000 hogs.
Speaking of changes in society and in farming, the hog farming, for you to still be in that and not have closed and become a factory farmer, it must be – how many folks are still hog farming?
Well, very few independents.
Yeah.
And it's driven from the consumer. The consumer wanted lean hogs, and they wanted to be able to trace hogs back to the owner's farms, which we can do pretty well now. And in order to do that, you kind of got to integrate. And the industry really changed in the mid-90s, and either you farrowed or you finished.
Yeah.
And we chose the finishing route, and we have a lot of ground to put the manure on and stuff. So – you know, it was a heavy investment for us, and it's paid off over time, and we're still in business.
That's pretty good though for hog farming. Talking with David Rice along with Dale Ryder, you two. I got the phone call. I was out of the country when I got the phone call for you guys to come on the show. So I'm glad you were patient and able to wait on me. You folks seem to work well together, don't you? I mean, this is kind of a partnership, isn't it?
Well, you know, I cut my teeth with
Senator. Who wants to
age before beauty, Bruce. Age before beauty. So let David answer first.
All right.
I cut my teeth with Senator Jones. And, you know, he grew up here in Wayne County, and he taught me so much about that. And when John, after the remap, chose to retire, you know, he's saying, well, you know, what's the new senator going to be like? And what's the district going to be like? So I was ecstatic when Senator Ryder and I got teamed up in the same district. Each Senate district has two reps.
Right.
So
the other representative is
Reggie Phillips.
That's right.
So he has the northern part of Dale's district.
Okay.
So, I mean, it was a seamless transition for us, and we both love politics. And you know, when I want legal advice, I call Dale. And when Dale wants farming advice, he calls me. So we're a great team.
When I'm looking at the hog futures, I call David.
That's not a bad thing.
I agree with what David said. It's been a terrific fit. Now, I knew David for several years before he and I teamed up in the same district and actually campaigned with David in 2004 when he first won his seat. And one of the things I always tell people is that, you know, what you want in Springfield, amongst other things, is someone who is the same in the Capitol building as they are right here in the district.
Yeah.
And, boy, I tell you what, I'm not sure that there's anyone in the General Assembly who more embodies that quality than David does. I remember the first time that I was over in the House of Representatives on the floor visiting with some people after he'd gotten elected and sworn in.
Okay.
And I heard some guy was just up and giving Speaker Madigan and the Democrats the business on some issue. I thought, man, who is that guy? And I turned around and looked. And it was David Rice. And I said, boy, it's exactly how he sounded at home when I was campaigning with him. And that's just a great thing. That's a great thing.
I got to ask you a question then, Dave, before we go to break. If he says you're going to be just like at Springfield, like you are at home, have you ever worn gum boots on the floor?
Not on the floor, but, you know, my office is very, you know, I'm from the farm.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times I'll say on the floor, I'm a farmer, not a lawyer.
Yeah.
So I try to bring that same mentality to what I say.
Although there is enough manure flowing on the field sometimes that he might need those boots.
He might need them. That's right. You're listening to the Bruce Dickey Show. I've got Senator Dale Ryder and Representative David Rice here. And we'll be back talking more about stuff. We're going to talk a little bit more about Springfield as well as we're going to talk a little bit about the presidential election, too, when we return here on WFIW, AM 1390 and 104.9 FM. Back in a sec. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in today. We've got a couple of guests over there on the other side joining me this morning here on WFIW AM 1390 and 104.9 FM. David Rice, he's the state representative for the 109th District, and Dale Ryder, our state senator for the 55th District, both of them is all of Wayne County in both of your districts?
I believe it is, correct?
It is.
And you are you're hosting office hours today. Is that correct, fellas?
Yeah.
Our office, every other Tuesday is in Fairfield City Hall from 10 to noon.
10 to 11:30.
Yeah, 10:30. And, so we're here every other Tuesday.
Okay. If not you, representatives of you.
What exactly? And today, David is joining us, so it'll be extra special.
Well, you see, now that's the thing. I always wonder. We were talking about college in the break, and I always wonder. The college professors always had office hours, and people went to office hours sometimes. People didn't go to office hours sometimes. Oftentimes, a professor would say he didn't see anybody. Do you see people at office hours? Are you crowded at office hours, or does it depend on what the issues of the day are?
It varies. Sometimes, the last time Dale and I had office hours here, there were like 15 people in the audience, and we were here for a full 2 hours.
Yeah.
And there's other times where the mayor may come out and talk to us, and one of the county chairmen, Republican county chairman, comes and sees us. So, I mean, it varies. It seems to be feast or famine.
Really?
But we like to take the business, our office, to the district. I have 9 counties. Dale has 14. Sometimes it's hard for someone from Wayne City to drive to Olney.
Oh, sure.
So we take the office to them, and normally they have a problem, an issue, navigating through the bureaucracy of state government. So we're glad to.
What do you typically deal with in office hours? I mean, what kind of problems do you typically? Is there a typical problem, or do they vary tremendously widely?
They vary tremendously widely. I mean, there is no typical problem. It could be anything. It could be a child support issue. It could be a boating license issue. It could
be
I haven't gotten my tax return back yet. It could be a FOID card issue or a concealed carry issue. Someone could come in to talk about a bigger picture issue about taxes or spending or property taxes. I mean, it's anything. And on those days when we don't have people, I mean, we bring work. And so we've always got a list of calls to return to constituents. So if the people aren't in there, then that's what we're doing.
Yeah, when you say folks are talking about bigger picture issues, people are probably coming in right now all the time asking about the budget.
That's what I was going to segue into. We've had a lot of visits from people who are part of that 10% of the people that the budget isn't paying.
Yeah.
I know we're going to have some college presidents that we're going to see today. And so that's kind of shifted towards that these last few months with our office hours.
So I'm assuming that you're down here working. When does session go back in at Springfield? What's the time frame?
We were supposed to start in mid-January. They canceled a couple days. So we went back last week for the State of the Union address, State of the State address, and then we go back next week again. Kind of light before the primary, uncharacteristically light.
That's kind of surprising to me, too.
I just received an email. The Senate, we're supposed to be in session next week for 2 days, February 10th and February 11th. They just canceled the 11th. So we're back in, and this is what we're going to dig into the issues here in a little bit. So we're back on the 10th, but that's because the President of the United States is coming to address a joint session of the General Assembly.
That's right. That's right. Barack Obama's going to be there. I'll be doggone.
Yeah.
That you got to be there for the president.
Well,
I mean, whether you're coming from Goleta or coming from Cairo,
we will be there. We will be there for the president. We will be there for the president.
That's exactly right. Speaking of the president, Dale, you had an exciting weekend. It sounds like to me. Tell me about what you did this last weekend.
Well, actually, it was yesterday. Of course, the caucuses, both the Republican and Democrat caucuses, took place last night in Iowa, and so Sunday, I'm a delegate for Senator Marco Rubio here in Illinois.
Okay.
Well, a colleague of mine, a Republican in the state Senate, who is a co-chair of Senator Rubio's campaign in Illinois, reached out to me and said, "Hey, we need speakers to represent Senator Rubio at caucus sites, and there's 1,600 of them in Iowa. So can you come up?"
1,600 caucus sites.
Yes. So yesterday afternoon, I drove up and went to Westside High School in downtown Davenport, and spoke to a little over 200 caucus goers on behalf of Senator Rubio.
How long? I've always been confused about how Iowa works. Tell me how the Iowa system.
Well,
works.
Actually,
was it fascinating to you?
It was fascinating.
I can't imagine it not being the most interesting thing you've seen.
I am a believer
as a politician.
I'm a believer in Senator Rubio for several reasons. A strong believer in him and his candidacy. But yeah, there's also a political science experience piece of this, and I thought, well, I want to go do this. So.
Yeah.
It's a very orderly process, and the Republicans and the Democrats, I've learned, run it a little bit differently. I mean, the Republicans, they organize, everyone gets their ballots, and then speakers for each of the candidates get up and speak, and then they fill out the ballots, and then they tabulate them. Well, on the Democrat side, it's a little more chaotic. They put the supporters for each of the candidates in different parts of the room in which they are caucusing.
They put them all together.
Well, right. Well, they separate
each
them
corner.
By candidate.
Yes,
though.
Yeah, yeah. Separate, but right.
And
right.
They also have
That's
a group of people who are officially undecided. And then they give each of the candidate camps an opportunity to go over and talk to the undecided group to try to bring them along to them.
Bring shepherd's hooks?
Well, I'm not sure. On the drive home late last night from Davenport, I was listening to some of the coverage from some of the Democrat caucus sites, and where they were yelling at each other. I mean, it was, you know, we're much more orderly and peaceful respectful in the Republican side.
Were you surprised by the result? Were you? It's difficult as a delegate. You're already a delegate, and you've committed for Marco Rubio. It's difficult for you to probably give me as objective as you can be. Were you surprised by the results?
I was. I mean, if you looked at the polling that I follow is called Real. The website is Real Clear Politics, and they average the five or six best polls and come up with the Real Clear Politics average. If you look at that polling the day before the caucuses, compared to the vote total, Trump lost about 4 points, Cruz gained about 4 points, and Rubio gained about 8 off of the most recent polling. So obviously the Rubio people are thrilled with that, and it just goes to show, you know, Iowans, and Iowa gets a lot of criticism. But having been there, what's fascinating to see is that those people scrutinize those candidates like nobody's business.
Yeah,
the people I spoke to at the caucus sites knew more about Senator Rubio than I probably do.
No kidding.
And that's impressive because they need that kind of close-up scrutiny early on in the process.
Well, that's the thing. I mentioned here on the radio yesterday, I watched the Iowa basketball game on Sunday, and it was on the Big Ten Network. And every commercial, there were like 3 minute spots in between every you know, however many of them during the ballgame, and all of them were presidential candidates.
Oh, yeah.
There was nothing else outside of that. And give me your opinion. Do you prefer that way, or do you prefer how we do it in Illinois? We're going to have an election here in about a month and a half, March 15th, and we'll elect the delegates then. I guess all the delegates in Illinois go to the winner, don't they?
No.
No, they're divided by congressional district.
Illinois is a little different.
Okay. How do you prefer it?
You know, I'm not sure a caucus system would work for a state as large as Illinois. That's exactly right. I mean, Iowa, relatively small state, and so it works there. A caucus places an extraordinary premium on organization. I don't know how candidates who are running nationwide once the primary schedule gets out
of Iowa.
I'm not sure how they would organize
in all
states.
Exactly. And New Hampshire.
Then, you know what, it's South Carolina, and then it's Super Tuesday, and I'm not sure how they could manage all that. But I think on the front end, I mean, again, it's fashionable in politics these days to criticize giving Iowa and New Hampshire those spots on the front end. I think it gives the candidates a close-up scrutiny that I'm not sure they'd get otherwise.
Well,
and that's good.
You know, and the other thing about that also, for instance, the Republicans started out with 16, and now they're down to 10. And Rubio and Cruz probably were known by nobody in Iowa. And Trump, for that matter, was only probably known by people from television. And now they've each had the opportunity to give their messages across and be seen. Now, what do you think, Dave? I've been keeping you out of the talk.
Well, it's fascinating to hear Dale's story as well. You know, I think this is going to sort out to be a 4 or 5 man race here real quickly. And, you know,
think Bush will be able to stay in?
No, I don't think so. The thing I've heard from people...
He's just underperformed. So underperformed his money is what's been kind of surprising to me.
I think a lot of people would realize that there would be 3 consecutive Bush presidencies.
Yeah.
And that turned a lot of people off. And I've talked to people from all over the country. So I think, you know, he went by the wayside early. But, you know, the electorate's angry. They really are. And even the Democrats are angry. Why else would Bernie Sanders rise to the top the way he has with such extreme views? So I think once this all sorts out and we start getting into states like, you know, South Carolina and Nevada and stuff like that, we're really going to see the pack narrow down and someone rise to the top. And, you know, most importantly, though, we want somebody that can win in the fall.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're this extreme either way, how are you going to appeal to that 10 or 20% of people in the middle?
Right.
How are you going to appeal to the voters in Florida and Virginia and Ohio and Pennsylvania and Michigan, where this election really is going to be decided? I mean, for the most part, 40 states already know who their nominees or who they're going to vote for.
You already know what color it's going to be on the big map
in
November. That's right.
We're not going to change California. You're not going to change Illinois. So it's those 10 states where these candidates have to compete. And, you know, Ohio's a 50-50 state.
Yeah.
And you can't be too extreme one way or the other. It's big. It's about the same size as Illinois. Pennsylvania's the same way. So how do you get to that 270? And does someone who I know – a lot of people in our district support Cruz.
Sure.
A lot of people support Trump because he's never been elected before, and he's going to go out there
and
shake
outsider.
Things up.
Yeah.
But can he win in the fall? And can he win those 5 to 8 critical states? And I think that's what people are going to start looking at.
You mentioned that the folks are angry. Are you seeing that at a – You guys talk to a lot of people. You talk to people every day. You're talking to both constituents as well as to other legislators and – Do you see that in your own districts as much as you see it on television? I always wonder if it's for use of the term trumped up a bit on television, or do you see it in your own districts as
well?
We
see it here at home. And, you know, Bruce Rauner was elected governor of the state of Illinois, never been elected before. He had the highest numbers in my district.
85% in Wayne County.
85%. You know, look at Edwards County. He had 75% in my whole district.
Yeah.
So people wanted a change.
Yeah.
And now that Bruce is hunkering down and demanding changes, we could raise taxes, we could just cut. That's not going to fix Illinois. He wants to fix us structurally. So as we maneuver through this process, some people are starting to get angry. you know, they're not getting paid.
Yeah.
We hear some hardcore Republicans saying, stay the course, David. Stay the course, Dale. You've got to be there. We've got to change this. So they're angry, hoping we stay there.
It's kind of tough, isn't it, Dale, getting pulled side to side?
There is a lot of frustration out there, and understandably so. And the frustration's layered. In other words, the frustration has been building, particularly over the last 10, 15 years, because more and more people, particularly the district that David and I represent, look to Springfield, and they're like, what is going on over there?
Yeah.
Are these people serious? Do they really think that we can afford more Medicaid and welfare giveaways? Do they really think that they can just keep digging deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into our pockets and that we'll be just fine? I mean, at some point, things need to get fixed over there. Now, the frustration of the fact that you do have a change agent in the executive wing in Bruce Rauner, and we're discovering how doggone hard it is to deal with the wreckage that was created over the last 10 or 15 years. And so it's kind of layered, you know what I'm saying? It's just so we're dealing with both ends.
Yeah. That's fascinating to me. I'm going to ask the boys, the fellas. I call you boys. You're both younger than me, just about. I feel horrible about that. You got a year on me, Dave. That's about it. And I don't know when your birthday is. I've got David Rice in here, state representative of the 109th District, and Dale Ryder, the state senator for the 55th District. I'm going to ask him how Springfield, how it has changed in the last year, as if only from the bad old days of Blagojevich. And we'll talk about all that stuff when we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 WFIW-FM Fairfield. Back in a sec. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the WFIW, the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390. I've got Senator Dale Ryder, state senator for the 55th District of Illinois, along with state representative David Rice, he of the 109th District here in Illinois. They are the Wayne County, Edwards County representative and senator. How far south do you guys go? Is Wayne County the bottom of it?
Oh, no. We go clear down to the south border of White County, so North City.
Gallatin, probably a little bit of it?
No, just White County.
Hamilton?
No. Nope. I had that last time. And then I go up to just north of Teutopolis.
I go up through Coles County.
So you don't get all the way to Champaign?
I do not.
Okay.
Close.
See, now that would probably be an interesting, as interesting a district with a gigantic college in it.
You right.
You've got a large college with the
Eastern,
Eastern
University, right? Right next door. But it's about for me, one way is about 2 hours and 20 minutes north to south in my district.
Before we get to the issues, tell me a little bit about. I mean, how much traveling do you do? What's the day to day of a state representative, state senator?
Well, I mean, I divide that into two. I mean, when we're in Springfield, you're talking about back here in the district.
Yeah, though. All over. I mean, through Springfield. How many miles are you putting on your car every year?
I honestly don't keep track of it by year because it's like asking me how many parades I do.
Yeah.
I don't want to count it. But, I mean, I have 14 counties. I am on the road. When we're in the district, when we're not in Springfield, I am on the road usually 4 days a week.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have any. I mean, there's no constituents except for my district aide in my district office.
Sure.
So like David made the comment earlier, you got to go out and see people. And when you go see people, whether it's your visiting office hours at a city hall or you go to a 4-H function or you come and do a radio show, I mean, that's where people, because you're coming to them, are going to be most likely to give you their real opinion.
Sure.
Their honest opinion, and that's what you got to have.
Any idea, Dave, how many miles you putting on your car?
Between 25 and 30,000.
That's a lot of driving.
Yeah. And, you know, we drive to Springfield each week the first 5 months of the year. Dale and I are both on the Legislative Audit Commission, which takes us to Chicago a couple times, you know, each quarter. But just windshield time and going to meetings. Tonight we're going to end up in Lawrenceville at a soil and water conservation district dinner. So, I mean, you travel to...
You got to go where the people are.
You got to go where the people
Absolutely.
Are.
Let's talk a little bit about issues. Before we get to the smaller ones, we may as well tackle the elephant in the room. When are we going to get a budget? That was the heaviest sigh I've had today.
You know, I started saying last fall that we wouldn't have a budget till after the primary, and here we are, won't have a budget until after the primary, and now we're here even... Rumors that we may not have a budget till November.
Somebody mentioned November to me last week, and I thought, there's just no way.
You know, we have a colossal fight between two people, and that's the governor and the Speaker of the House. It's been there for 45 years, Speaker Madigan. And Governor Rauner's not going to back down. And he's using the budget and some other things as leverage to change the fundamental structure of Illinois, workman's comp, term limits, redistricting reform, prevailing wage requirements at the county level that drive up costs. So he wants to see those changes because, like I said earlier in the broadcast, we could just raise taxes. We could just cut. That wouldn't fix our problem. And Bruce is in it for the fight. And I'm hopeful that after the primary, once the dust kind of settles, there's a lot of primaries in Chicago and the Collar County.
You guys will go back into session April and May anyway.
We're in session
pretty much full time.
Full time April and May.
Right.
So I'm hoping something breaks loose there and cooler heads prevail and that somebody.
What do you think, Dale?
Well, we still, in Illinois, we still have the 47th or 48th rated economy in the United States. And we are bleeding jobs into our surrounding states. Illinois, in the last year, has lost more citizens, I think, than any other state except for one. And those people aren't going to Florida and Arizona. They're going to Indiana. They're going to Wisconsin and Iowa and Missouri
Tennessee.
And Kentucky because they are seeking economic opportunity. So our policies are driving our citizens out of the state looking for something different. Now, I mean, the debate in Springfield has been the governor is saying, yes, we have to balance the budget, but we also need some basic reforms to government and to our economic policies. Because if your economy isn't growing and you're not giving people the opportunity to get jobs, what are you doing? And the Democrats...
Yeah, what are you doing as a public servant?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Speaker Madigan on the other side is saying, well, no, let's deal with the budget. Those are non-budget items. Well, let's just take one of those. Workers' compensation
That's
reform.
That's a budget item.
That's the number one issue that David and I hear as we travel up and down our district from employers. The workers' compensation costs in Illinois, are so much higher than they are in Indiana or Missouri, these surrounding states. Anyone who could locate any kind of business that has any kind of workers' compensation cost to it within 50 or 60 miles of a border will never come to Illinois. That's an economic. That's a budget issue. That's a budget issue. And the Speaker and the Democrats say, well, not now. Well, if not now, when?
Yeah.
If not now, when? We're going to wait another year for more people to lose their jobs and drift outside of the state and take their brain power and their purchasing power with them? I mean, we do this by choice. It doesn't have to be this way, and now's the time to get it fixed.
The interesting thing to me, when everybody I talk to, I've never spoken to Speaker Madigan or actually very seldom here in Wayne County. Don't run into too many Democrats either who like his policies. But whenever you do read about him, you think that and it's probably the same thing with any high-level politician, let's put it that way. He's not going to do it on his own. It's something that he's going to have to get. He's been there 45 years, like you say, Dave. He's entrenched. It's something he's going to have to get forced into doing. And my question is, and I hope that Bruce Rauner has the backbone to be able to do that, not just the backbone. It's going to take some brains and cleverness probably also. And that's the part that you don't like to talk about. If you see my point here, Dave, do you?
Yes, but Madigan responds to power. And if he sees a loss of power, I won in 2004. Aaron Schock won in 2004.
Right.
We were the first two Republicans to beat a sitting Democrat in 10 years.
Yeah.
And it was all over medical malpractice reform. And Madigan finally got pushed into a corner where he said, hey, I'm going to start losing seats here. We need to do something. Well, he's pretty clever. He did something all right, and he worded it so that it would be found unconstitutional.
Right.
So his trial lawyers didn't lose out, friends. The issue went away, and he didn't lose any more seats for another four elections.
That is clever.
So with Madigan, it's about power, and now it's a game. I mean, it's a personal game between him and Bruce Rauner, and Madigan wants to win.
Yeah. Well, so does Rauner, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Yeah. It's going to be you hate that people are losing pay. People are losing jobs. It's just an awful thing. But it must be at some level it is pure theater. Isn't it?
Not quite like the old days.
No.
We were talking about that during break.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. How was it working under the for instance, the Blagojevich administration just seemed, from a distance, you guys were close up, from a distance it just seemed just crazy, just wild.
It was like a Looney Tunes movie.
Really?
And I had occasion early in his administration.
Because you've worked with several governors. You've worked with Ryan.
Yes, yes.
And you weren't there yet with Edgar, right, probably?
Very tail end.
Okay.
Very tail end. I had a few occasions to actually talk with former Governor Blagojevich one-on-one about issues. And what you always noticed with him was you'd get about 10 or 15 seconds into the conversation.
And
you'd notice that the governor would suddenly realize that you're not talking about baseball. You're not talking about a movie. You're talking about an issue. And then this glaze would just start to cover his eyes, and you knew he was not in the conversation anymore. That's the one thing that was consistent about him in my experience with him. He never dug in. He never engaged. And I don't know whether that's because he couldn't engage or he chose not to engage, but he just never did.
Yeah.
We've got it's the joke around the world. You run for governor in Illinois, you go to prison. You run for governor in Illinois, you go to prison. Well, it's happened the last couple. But there are two different things. You've got the George Ryan. My brother was a friend of George Ryan, and in Kankakee, and Ryan knew how to get stuff done, even though he was getting stuff done occasionally a little slickly, right? But there are two different things. You got governors who know how to get things done, and maybe not, right? Am I right in that impression?
Yeah, you served with George.
Bringing us then to Pat Quinn.
Right. I mean, there's no question that George Ryan, I mean, he was a pragmatist.
Yeah.
And he was a Republican, but he was a pragmatist. He wanted to move the ball forward. There's no question that he was born and raised and spent most of his public career kind of in what I would call the old style politics and governance, where some of that stuff was okay. Some of this, I mean, I'm talking about the unethical stuff and illegal stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Where,
you know, it was expected.
People just turned their heads and like, you know what, that's politics or whatever. And I thank God we're out of that. I mean, but he, there's no question that he came from that school of politics.
He also came from the school of compromise. We had divided government
for
28 years. We had a divided government where we had balance. We had debate. We had compromise. We had temperament. And then along came one-party rule. And, you know, we're probably just as guilty of it on the other side.
Probably.
We still get the opportunity as much. But when one party controls both chambers and the governorship, they tend to move to the extreme in that party. And George was a compromiser, and he got things done because he knew he had to work with the speaker.
Nuts and bolts. I haven't spoken to either of you since the election back in November of 14. Were you surprised that Reiner was able to carry as much of Chicago that he did to win the election?
He did a good job strategically. He didn't get out in front on the social issues, did like our friend Bill Brady. And Bill Brady represented. He did very well in Wayne County and Edwards and the surrounding area. But you get up in those collar counties, and they don't like to talk about that stuff. And Bruce chose not to talk about those things. Bruce had a tremendous amount of money, too, to fund a ground game in each of the areas, to get things out and to pay for television. I mean, that helps, too.
Oh, yeah.
Get your message out. And then the last thing, very low voter turnout in 2014 for the Democrats. Pat Quinn had terribly low numbers, especially downstate.
I wonder if that was because
it was a combination of all three.
Was that because of the, I guess, no presidential election? Or
they didn't like him. They didn't like him. Democrats didn't like him.
Well, you know, to each his own, I guess. Yeah. Right? we didn't get it talked about, Pat Quinn. I've got about a minute to go. Any other issues you really want to blow into?
You know, we're just going to not only focus on the budget, but focus on the issues that are important, agriculture and oil. We got a great natural resources director now that hopefully once the price of oil comes back, we can get those permits out issued in a lot more timely manner. I'm excited about that. And we have some positives going on. We'll sort through those as we go through the spring session.
We have some tremendous opportunities for growth and reform sitting in front of us this coming session. And, I mean, we're going to do everything we can to take advantage of those, not just back here at home, but obviously in Springfield. Our goal is to get the policies in Springfield turned around, moving in the right direction so that people back here at home can exploit their own personal potential to do as best they can do for themselves and their families.
Well, that's the thing. You're absolutely right. And best of luck to both of you getting the policies, whether they're yours or not, getting something moving forward and successful for the state of Illinois, right?
Can't do much more than that.
Thanks for listening to the Bruce Dickey Show, folks, today. That was Dale Ryder and David Rice. Thanks for coming, fellas.
It was
our pleasure.
We'll talk to y'all again real soon.